If you turn then to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, that is the John towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. My aim this morning is that we may be encouraged one more time, that we may leave this place full of encouragement, knowing that the Lord has a word for us and encouragement for us even in such difficult times that is upon us. I will read from verse 15 to verse 19 in chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 29. But we'll just look at verse 28 and 29 for this morning. It reads as following. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possession, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires, but whosoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. The good Lord, may he add blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. This morning, friends, as I was saying, I want to bring you a message of encouragement, which is also a command from the Lord. Simply because, friends, church, we are living in a strange world. That is clear. Everyone can see all those things. Things changes every day. People changes every day. Relationships breaks. We lose our jobs. We lose our loved ones. We suffer animosity, hatred, enmity from the world around us. There are people who hate Christians for no reason, who hate this church or hate you for no particular reason. In this church, as you can look around, we are under a terrible cloud of satanic attacks from the people around us, the community around us. Our tent of worship is treated worse than a synagogue of Satan. In our townships, especially in our township, there is false teaching. False doctrine is everywhere. You look around among the Christians, there is no love among one another. People are no longer identified as Christians because they love one another, because that is the commandment that comes from the Lord. But we are identified with faithlessness and insecurity. We do not have assurance that indeed we are the children of God. As we pray, you realize many of our loved ones are sick. Many of our people are challenged in different ways. You look around, the people that you used to see next to you, they are no longer there. People have gone back to the world. It is easy for those who remain to really not to pray anymore, but also to wish that they may go back maybe to the world, to give up as it were. The question is, what shall we do? What is it that is required from us by the Lord Himself that each and every one of us should do? We have heard for 4 weeks in a row that Jesus prayed for us. And we know the things that He prayed for us about, and we cherish those things. We realize that He loved us. But the scripture told us and reminded us that He continues to pray for us even today. But there is something that is required of us. There is something that is expected of us as children of God. We have encouraging words like John chapter 16 verse 33, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you can look there in John 16:33, He says to His disciples, after He has told them that so many things are going to happen to them and that He will be killed, but He's saying to them, I said these things to you that in Me you may have peace. Why? In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have challenges. There will be animosity between you and the world. They will strike you on the left and on the right because you are in the world where you do not belong. But take heart. Here is this word. Take heart. I have overcome the world. That is Jesus speaking. He has overcome the world. But there is something that is required of us if we believe that Jesus has overcome the world. If we believe that indeed Jesus is the propitiation of our sin. In other words, He is the one who stood on the gap and suffered our suffering from God. If we believe that indeed we are sinful, and we are sinful to the point that it took God from heaven, the Holy One, to come to earth and atone for us, or live a righteous life for us, there is something that is required of us, regardless what we see, especially because of what we see, there is something that is required of us. John is writing this letter to a number of congregations. He's not just writing to one. He's writing to many congregations, many people, to encourage their fellowship with God, that they may walk in the light, that there may be a distinction between the people of the world and the people of God. And the fact that he writes to a lot of people, or to a number of congregations, it proves that the children of God are suffering the same thing everywhere. It also proves that the children of God seek the same encouragement, but that God also requires the same commitment from His children. God has the same commandment for us all. He's got an expectation. His expectation is the same towards all of His children. He wants Jesus to be at the center of our lives, to be at the center of our thoughts, at the center of our deeds and our plans, because Jesus is our hope of glory. Jesus is the emblem of our righteousness. Jesus is the song of joy in our own lives, even in the midst of tribulation, as we may look at it. Jesus is our strength, and only Him is our peace. You do not have peace, Jesus is your peace. You do not have joy, Jesus is your joy. Jesus has done much to prove that he is the one that we should look up to. If you read in this book of John, in verse number 2, where we are today, it says he is the propitiation for our sin, as I was saying. He is the wrath remover, the one who appeased, the one who pleased God on behalf of sinners. He has done so much great thing. So there is nothing then that he cannot do if he was able to do such a thing. That he loved us and gave his life for us. John seems to be saying then to the believers, remember what the Lord once said to you. Remember that in the world you have tribulation, and that is what is happening to you right now. Therefore, you need to abide in Christ. That is what we want to talk about this morning. Abiding in Christ. I want to talk about this with a hope that we will be encouraged not to lose heart. It is easy to lose heart as we look around. We are being reminded of the great thing that Jesus did, dying for us, praying for us. But it is still easy to lose heart. It is easy to go back to the world. It is easy to follow those who seem to be having a good time. But the first thing then, as we're looking at abiding in Christ, the first thing, the meaning of abiding in Christ. Verse 28, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. To abide, friends, that phrase means to stay. To abide is to stay. It is to stay in a given place. Not necessarily a place of your own choice, but a place that is given to you. It is to remain or to tarry in that place until a specific time. Therefore, according to John here, as he writes, Jesus is pictured as a dwelling place. Jesus is pictured as one in whom we must abide, or in whom we must stay or remain. When John looked around the situation at the time, if you can read here, you realize that some things were happening. People were coming against the Christians, saying Jesus was not God, and Jesus was like an angel, and they were saying so many things, that Jesus was not divine, and Jesus maybe was mythical, and so on and so on. But the church was under tribulation. Some of those who belonged to the church had gone back to the world. Some of them, they were preaching against the preachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was looking in the situations and the challenges facing the church, he realized that the first thing that the Christian will do in such bad time, it is to lose their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that we lose our trust in him. So John will not want the Christian or the church to trust in the world, to trust in the systems of this world, in the ways of this world, in anything of this world. Why? Simply because worldly things are dangerous to the soul. Worldly things are dangerous to the body. Worldly things are contagious. What do I mean by that? If you stay too much with people who are worldly, you will become worldly yourself. If you spend your time away from the things of God, but too attached to the things of the world, you end up being one with the world. John will not want to see a church of Christ going through such a thing. But it is not because John doesn't want it that way. It is because Christ himself doesn't want it that way. John realized that it is easy to lose hope when the situation is hopeless. It is easy to lose love when the situation is loveless. It is easy to abandon the church when the multitudes abandoning the church of God. So John is reminding the Christians, reminding the believers, that since you have received Christ by faith, this is the meaning of abiding in him. Since you have received Christ by faith, you must walk in Christ by faith. You must remain attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because John is aware that We are living in a real world, friends. This is a real world. Not a mystical world. Not that this charismatic world of painlessness, a sorrowless world. This is a real world. We don't say things by your mouth and then they become good. This is a real world. We are facing real challenges in this world. We are praying real prayers in this world. We are trusting a real God in this world. John says this is a real world. We must face this real world with reality. We must face this real world with the truth. And Jesus is the truth. There are things that we go through as the people of God that want to challenge our confidence in Christ. Because this is a real world. It is not always bright and well in our lives. This is the real world. Sometimes we are tempted to lose heart. Look around, as I was saying, the tent is torn apart almost to the point of worthlessness. As the people pass by, they are wondering, is this God that they serve? Is He real? And it's easy for us to shrink in shame. When they ask you, are you also belonging to that church? You shrink in shame. As they come to you, I want you to fix my sofa. And fixing that sofa very nice. Are you belonging to that church, Brother Shimbuzo? Then you say, no. Why? You're shrinking in shame. Because it looks shameful perhaps to you to belong to the church of God that is in tribulation. John says, no. The only way, my friend, don't try to abide in that church. It is temporal structure. Abide in Christ Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Remain attached in Him. Let me give you four things which gives a clear meaning of abiding in Jesus. Firstly, abiding in Christ is to continue in the faith, as I was saying. It is to continue believing the promise of God in Christ Jesus. To continue in faith, my friend, is to have focus. You will not want a church that has lost focus. We cannot lose focus. That is why our message is always encourages us to have focus. But we cannot only speak about having focus and not show that we have focus. To have faith in Christ, to continue believing in Christ, is to have focus. It is to look straight, not to be moved by the things of this world. It is to devote yourself to God on a daily basis. Therefore, John is saying to the believers, if you see any among you, if any among you has turned away from Jesus, it is not because one has finally found something better. No. If one has turned from Jesus, he has not found something better. But he has given himself to the spirit of the world. He has given himself to the system of the world, to these evil ways. He has given himself, according to John, to the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist, which is already operating in the world, in the children of disobedience. If one turns from the Lord, he has not found a new thing. But the spirit is deceiving him. The spirit, friends, is deceiving many, taking them away from the very hope which without no one shall see God. Taking them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. John will not want those who are genuine believers to be taken away from the hope. This church will not want those who are genuine believers to be taken away from the hope which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is Jesus Christ's desire. Church, this is very simple. It is faith that has brought us into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore then, only faith will keep us in His love. Only faith will sustain us. Only faith will achieve us our godly desires. Only faith will keep us on that narrow road, the path to righteousness, the word of God. Only faith will keep us attached to Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we are greatly challenged in this church by such discouraging attempts to shut us down, if you will, the question is not who is doing this. That's not the question. We know who is doing this. He may come clothed as a different person or a Nyawupe guy or a neighbor, but we know who's doing this.
the devil is doing this. So that is not the question, because that is obvious. The question is, have we truly trusted in Jesus? Have we truly believed in Him? Have we truly embraced Him in our heart? Are we willing to constantly depend upon Him? That is the question. Are we going to continue walk with Him side by side? Even in your personal life, perhaps there are ups and downs. This is real life. The question, have you depended on Jesus? Do you have confidence in Him? Do you still believe that nothing can snatch you away from under His arm? Because that is John's aim, to remind the church, Jesus is faithful. Continue in Him. Secondly, something else to show you what it is to abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ is to build your life by His Word. You don't build your life by TV. You don't build your life by anything of this world. You build your life by His Word. So John look around. He sees the challenges towards the church and the persecution. He sees the backsliding. He sees the apostasy there was. And he says in verse 24, the only way to safety is to govern your life by the Word of God. Look at verse 24 of our chapter. The only way to govern your life is through the Word of God. He says in verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning, something was told to you, something you did listen to, something that you have believed, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. The Word of God alone will keep you. Only the Word of God will sharpen you. Only the Word of God will make you ready for any situation. Therefore, the command is very simple. The truth of God must be in your heart. The truth must obtain a permanent place in your soul. Unless you have not heard the truth, unless you have not believed that Jesus is faithful and true, the truth must remain with you. Unless you have not believed that Jesus gave His life for us who abide in Him. Because that comes from the truth of God. The very same truth. Why should this truth be that which builds your life in Christ? Because this truth helps you to think. This truth helps you to pray. This truth does not only give you abstract truth. The Word of God does not only give you that. Not just abstract truth. It speaks to your heart. It reminds you and tells you of the one who died for you and called you from the garbage of sin unto His marvelous light. This truth tells you that. This truth is your way, the truth, and your life. It helps you to pray. So you cannot afford to abandon the truth, the Word of God. In other words, we cannot afford to abandon the church where the truth of God is preached. This is not only about you sitting at home and reading the Bible to yourself. It is about the Bible being preached to you by a man chosen by God in that particular time. Abiding in Christ is to build your life by His Word. That was the second thing. But the third thing that gives a meaning to abiding in Christ is to commune with Christ. To commune with Christ. To have an intimate relationship with Him. That is to make yourself an instrument of worship. In other words, you do not wait for the music and the band to roll before you can shout Jesus or glory to God. Before you can worship. No, you do not wait for a song before you can worship. You become the instrument of worship in the eyes of God. You don't wait for the band to be big before you commit yourself to the church. You remember that Jesus is big. You don't need anything big that can be bigger than Jesus. He is big. I commit myself to Him. You live your daily life with Him. You commune with Him. You break
bread and you drink the wine, which is both the symbol of his death and resurrection as we observe it in the Easter conference to those who were there. We share it together. We commune in the body of Christ with him. Thereby we show that we appreciate his death. We appreciate his atoning sacrifice for us. We know that nothing and nothing can save us. Nothing can make things right except him and him alone. The last thing that gives a meaning to abiding in Christ is to depend on the Holy Spirit. Brethren, let me just say, it is not true that you still need the Holy Spirit to come into your life and baptize you. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted upon him for your soul, you already have the Spirit in you. Listen to what John says in verse 27 of our text. So that you may depend on this Holy Spirit. Because he is alive, he lives, he guides, he protects, he cares for you. Verse 27. But the anointing that you received, please notice if you are looking at your English Bible, the anointing that you received, pointing to the past, not the anointing that you are praying to receive. The anointing that you received. John is speaking to the church of believers as I'm speaking to believers right now. The anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. In other words, if somebody teaches you, you will reject the teachings if they don't go according to the word of God, because the word of God will remind you of all truths. So you don't need anyone to come with a new revelation. So you will not go run to people with new revelation. You will go to people who brings the old revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, and only by believing in him you have life in him. It says if that truth abides in you, you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as he taught you, abide in him. The point I'm bringing, depend on the Holy Spirit. We depend on the Holy Spirit because we have already received him when we believed. It is he who calls us to love God. It is he who calls us to love one another. It is he who calls us to love the church. If we do not depend on the Holy Spirit, we will depend on our own spirit. And our own spirit lies to us. Then our own spirit will show us to different directions. Before we go to the second point whereby I want to show you the importance of abiding in Christ, let us look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and verse 26. Just to show you that abiding in Christ is to depend on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You must depend on his Spirit. This Spirit is he who will raise you from the dead. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You see, the Spirit alone will help you in your weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning deep, too deep for words. So, not only is Jesus praying for us right now, but the Spirit himself prays for us with groaning deep even to explain. We must depend on him. We must be directed and led by the Spirit of God. But secondly, now we have defined what does it mean to abide in Christ. Let's look at the importance of abiding in Christ. Verse 28, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming church. History is moving towards the future return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know that. Everything is leading to that great moment, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what should be important to us then. That is what should be in our mind. That when he returns, we should not be ashamed. That is what the verse says. It gives you the importance of abiding in Christ, that you may not be ashamed at his coming. So it is important to abide in him so that you may not be ashamed. But greater than that is because he is coming again. It says there, when he appears, he will appear. Jesus is coming back again. We must abide in him. We abide in him because his saving power is at work within us. That is why we abide in him. His saving power is at work in our lives. We abide in him because he has promised us good. Look at the verse. There's a great promise there. He will appear. We will see this great promise just now. How great it is that we must wait for his appearing. But we abide in him because he has promised us good. We know that he has promised us good because we are saved from the worries and the uncertainties of this life. How much great is he going to save us from in that great day when he returns? The importance of abiding in Christ is because Jesus has overcome the world. It is important because he alone has overcome the world. He has defeated Satan. He has defeated that strong man. He has bound the strong man. Because he himself, Jesus, is the stronger man who comes and binds the strong man who thinks is in charge of this world and put him aside so that his mission, Christ's mission, can fill the whole world. We are here because Jesus' mission is filling the whole world. From Jerusalem up to today, 2,000 years later, the mission of Christ is filling the world because Jesus has put aside temporarily the strong man so that his church will strive. So what is it that should then bring fear unto us? Nothing. Christ has overcome the world. The importance of abiding in him then is because he's coming again to bring everything into completion. It is important to abide in him because it is not only for now that we abide in him. Abiding in him is our source of eternal happiness. Because Jesus is salvation today, Jesus will be our salvation even tomorrow. He is coming back to reward those who abide in him, so that those who abide in him right now may have future with him. Please turn to 1 Peter, just a few pages back to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Just want you to look at verse 4. This is what verse 4 says. Listen. When the chief shepherd, the greatest shepherd, who's greater than all shepherds, when he appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Church, there is something awaiting us beyond the grave. Beyond the horizon of death and decay, there is a glorious future for every believer who abides in Christ. Crowns that are waiting you. Unfading crowns of glory. So instead of being tossed to and fro by the little things of this world, by money, instead of being motivated by the things that are actually temporal incentives of this world, a greater motivation for us all, it is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he appears, he has something for us. And we know that his promises are true. So we can hold on
Because we know that what he has promised, in that he will deliver. So in other words, friends, we don't need the world. You don't need the riches of this world to be important. You don't need many years to live in this world. All you need is to abide in Christ. Why? Why is this important? When he appears, we will not be put to shame. When he appears, you will have confidence in him. You don't need to speak in tongues. You don't need to prophesy. You need to abide in Christ. Why? When he returns, he has an inheritance that is imperishable, an unfading inheritance kept in heaven for you as believers. In other words, church, there will be an end to all the good things of this world. But also there will be an end to all the sorrows and the pain of this world. When Jesus comes, he will usher in a period of eternal joy. When he comes, he will separate the sheep from the goat. When he returns, he will separate the chaff from the wheat, the good from the bad. Church, he is coming back carrying his recompense with him according to the book of Revelation. He is bringing a prize. He is bringing something that he will give to his people to repay each one for what he has done. And what is important for you to do more than anything else, it is to abide in him. Let me just show you how important it is to abide in Christ. Listen to Job 28 verse 7. Don't have to turn there, but just listen. You can write it down. You know this verse. For what is the hope of the godless when God cuts him, when he cuts him off, when God takes away his life? Liyini ithemba lomuntu onganaye uJesu. What is the hope of the godless? That is important. Abiding in Christ gives you hope. Abiding in Christ gives you strength. It strengthens you. It strengthens the hope that you have in Christ. Because there is no hope outside God. There is no blessing outside God. Listen to this hymn that speaks of the importance of abiding in Christ. Listen to this hymn. All the joy when I shall awake within the presence of my King. Then I shall see him face to face. Someday my earthly house, this house, will fall away. I cannot tell how soon. No one can. But I know my all in all has now a place with him for me. Someday my Lord will come. I will meet him and I will be blessed. He shall tell me, well done, and I shall enter his rest. That is the importance of abiding in him, to enter his rest, to hear the words, well done, good servants. Enter into the kingdom of God, prepared for you from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. That is the reason to abide in Christ. He is coming back again. Our faith that we have now will change to sight. In other words, the things that we hope for that we do not see right now, we will see it. Our faith will turn or be changed into sight. It is important to abide in Christ so that you may also overcome this world. Without abiding in Christ, you will not overcome this world. Without abiding in Christ, you don't have hope in this world. Romans 8, 38 to 39, words that we know. This is what Paul says. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no power, no height, no depth, no anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. A person who abides in Christ can only say this word. That is the importance of abiding in Christ. Nothing can steal your joy. You live in this world clothed with heavenly courage, clothed with heavenly and glorious assurance that Jesus, when he appears, he will appear and you will appear with him in glory.
The question then is, do you want to be with Jesus when He returns? Do you want to be with Jesus when He returns? If that's your answer, and your answer is yes, therefore it is important to abide in Him. It is important to live your life for God, even now in this godless world. It is important to constantly seek to see Him, to see Him face to face when He returns. It is important to think like Job, who said, I know my Redeemer lives. Regardless of the situation I'm around, regardless of the pains and the sorrows I'm going through, regardless of the fact that my body is punished right now, I know my Redeemer lives. And when He returns, I shall see Him face to face. When my body has thus been destroyed, but in my flesh I shall see Him. You need to have that courage in you. Looking around and say, nothing of this world can separate me from the love of God. It is important to have faith. It is important to have hope to the one who will not disappoint you. To rather have Jesus than silver or gold. We have seen what does it mean to abide in Christ. We have seen the importance of abiding in Christ. Thirdly, the evidence of abiding in Christ. Verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. That's very clear. The evidence of abiding in Christ is to be born again, because to be born again is the beginning of the journey, the Christian journey. This journey begins by faith, but this journey continues with practical evidence of righteousness. Practical evidence of righteous living, which becomes the evidence of abiding in Christ. He speaks of righteous living. And friends, these words written by John here, they are not words that we read to condemn others or to condemn one another when he says, who practices righteousness has been born. Friends, John is aware that is impossible not to sin in this world. But also he knows that those who are in Christ, they do not continue practicing sin. So John is not talking to us as though we are sinless. But he wants us living in the sinful world, as sinful as we may be in this world, as saved sinners of Christ, to continue a life of righteousness. He brings this world so that we may want to come closer to the loving arms of God and open His word and hear Him, and that this word may introspect our hearts. That this word may introspect our heart, that may use this word for self-introspection. That everyone should ask himself a question or herself a question. Ask yourself the question right now. Am I practicing righteousness? That is for you to answer, and that is for you alone. Because according to John, practicing righteousness is the evidence that you are abiding in Christ. John is not talking, as I was saying, about being sinless, but are you practicing righteousness? Because John knows that people are sinful, but if Christians are also sinful, but if we confess our sin, God and He's faithful in Christ Jesus to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. That is what John says in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. God is faithful. The point is not about being sinless. The point is about showing evidence of righteousness. The point is about living a life of God. Here is a few evidence of what I'm talking about. Listen, there's a few evidence. One, you must be bearing a spiritual fruit. Bearing a spiritual fruit. You will see that in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Bear fruits of righteousness. Hello? Amen. That is one of the things that you should have as evidence that, not that you are a Christian, everybody can claim to be a Christian. Evidence that you are the Christian who abide in Christ, because that is the only Christian who appear with Christ when Christ appears. You must keep God's word in your heart. That's the second thing. Keep God's word in your heart. How are you going to keep God's word in your heart when you don't read God's word? How are you going to keep God's word in your heart when you don't hear God's word preached unto you? When you're sitting at home and hopeless. Jesus says in John 8:51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. He shall pass from this death, from this world, passing through death unto eternal life." Another thing is evidence of abiding Christ, loving God, loving Jesus. How do we show that we love Jesus? We do what Jesus loves us to do, what Jesus commands us to do. Another evidence that you abide in Christ, you love the brethren, you love one another, because you know it is a command from the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love no man has than this, that one should give his life for another. Love one another. Make God your refuge at all times. Meaning, whatever you have as a problem, you run to God first. That is where you run to. You're not running to the world. God is your refuge and strength. You never forget that God alone is your source of happiness. Another thing, as evidence, you remain in the love of God by living by faith. When there's a problem in the church, we don't run away. We run towards God, not away from God. You love the gospel, another evidence. You love the gospel. You just want to hear what God says. You know how to know when somebody doesn't love the gospel? He's not interested in the preaching that takes place in the church. That is why it is easy to be away and stay home and forget about what Jesus says, forgetting that whatever is being said here, it comes from the Lord. He does not find it difficult to stay home on the Lord's day. Friends, let us show evidence that we abide in Christ. The evidence of abiding in Christ will be seen on those who remain attached. Only those who are remaining attached, they will rest in the Lord. They will wait on the Lord. They will continue in righteousness. Because according to verse 29 here, this righteousness we are talking about is the righteousness of Christ. In other words, they will tap into the life of Christ through what the scripture is saying and live this life out. In other words, they will resemble Christ Jesus. That is what it means to have evidence of abiding in Him. You resemble the life of Christ. So John wants the believers to consider the life of Christ than considering their own life or looking at one another. No, let us look unto Jesus. Fix your eyes unto Jesus. Of course, there must be something from one another to imitate, but focus unto Jesus. He alone is the emblem of righteousness. That is the evidence of abiding in Christ, resembling Christ. Because Jesus, friends, is the radiance of the glory of God. Jesus is the exact imprint of His nature, of God's nature. Jesus alone upholds the universe in the palm of His hand by the word of His power. So says the word of God. In Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Only in Jesus. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So the evidence of abiding in Him is that all of me, all of Him may dwell in me as well, and that I may show and resemble that in my life. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God, a visible image of the invisible God. I will not go wrong. So church, the evidence of abiding in Christ is to resemble Him, to walk as He walked, to love as He loved, to please God as He pleased God. And people who have this evidence in their lives, the scripture says about them, they will wait on the Lord. They will show fruits. They will wait on the Lord. Remember what Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says. He says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. These are the people who will be found with Jesus. These are people who will show evidence of abiding. They will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint. They are attached to Jesus. They bear fruits. They stay connected to Jesus. And only then our lives will produce spiritual fruit. Only then we will have faith in Him in the midst of a faithless generation. We will live by His word. We will build our lives by His word. We will desire to commune with Him. And shortly, friends, let me say, ask, is there any tragedy? Is there any thing that can happen to a person who does not abide in Christ? Is there any tragedy when you're not abiding in Christ? One, those who do not abide in Christ will be ashamed. They will be shamed when He appears, according to verse 28. According to verse 28, they will not have confidence when Jesus returns. What does that mean? They will not have testimony of faith when Jesus returns. Genuine faith. They will not have a right to be ushered into the joy of the Lord. John 15 verse 6 speaks of a branch that is not abiding on the tree. It says about that branch, it will be cut off and it will be thrown into the fire. That is a tragedy of not abiding in Christ. That is a tragedy of running where the world is running to. Those who do not abide in Christ are carried away by every wind of false doctrine. They begin to hate the church of Christ, which they once confessed to love. They soon become the enemy of the cross. How? They begin to live a Christless Christianity. And consequently, when Christ returns, they will be put to shame. They will be in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That will be the tragedy. Remember, when Christ returns, my friend, He is coming to judge the world. The tragedy will be to find yourself outside His camp. Let me close like this. It does not matter what our temporal infirmities are in this world. It does not matter, in other words, what our temporal sufferings, what troubles us, it may be in this world. It doesn't matter. Not because it is not important. As sorrowful as that can be, we must abide in Christ. We must abide in Him until He returns. Regardless of the pain and the perplexity, the sufferings of this present life, regardless of the challenges we are facing in this present life, church, we will not compromise our standard. Our standard of life and doctrine shall not be compromised, regardless of what is happening in this world. We will not compromise anything just to be cultural correct or political correct, or to be loved by our neighbors. We will not compromise the gospel so that everybody loves us and they bring us gifts in this church or in your own personal life. We will not walk like the world walk. They're walking away from God. We will walk towards God regardless of the storms of life. We will not teach our children the way the world teaches their children. We will teach our children to abide in the Lord How? By them seeing us abiding in the Lord. We will abide in the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Because we are the children of God. And this is our home. Not this world. But where we are right now is where He has put us to be our home. Is this your home? Do you abandon your home when there is a problem at home? Do you change your surname just because your father smacked you once? Home is home. Where will you go and leave your home away? Jesus is put here for a reason. This is our home. And the Spirit of God remains in us. We will abide in Him. We will show evidence. Why? Because when He appears, we shall appear with Him. And when He appears, we will have rewards from Him. It is our duty, church, to show the world that Jesus lives. It is our duty, church, to show the world that Jesus overcome the world by us abiding in Him and continuing in Him. So let us persevere in our faith, church. Let us look away from the temporal incentives of this life. Let us strive to build this church, the church of God, with our prayers and our offerings. Let us build this church with our commitment. Let us build this church with everything in our power and our might. Why? Because we abide in Christ. Why? Because when He returns, we will appear with Him. And for that, we show the world by our evidence that we have as we live among them. Let us bear the fruit of the Spirit. Let us keep the word of God in our hearts. Let us love Jesus. Let us love one another. Let us love His church. Let us show that by committing ourselves to His church. Praying for one another. Caring for one another when one is in need. Visiting one another. It is a shame that one of our members has to be sick and be at home and none of us in this church goes to visit that member. It's a shame. It has to stop and it has stopped today. It's a shame. We are the family of God. We must carry one another. Not just in prayer, physical. We must be there for one another. Let the Lord be merciful to us. Because we abide in Him. He loves us. So we will abide in Him. We will show evidence. We will commit. We will look above and seek the things that are above. We will only delight in the Lord because we know that He will give us the desires of our hearts. So church, as we go home, let us be reminded, this world is a sinking ship. We must abide in Christ. He is the propitiation, the wrath remover, the appeasing sacrifice of God, that we may be the people that we are today. Family, God bless you. Let's pray.